Wednesday, October 8th, 2025, and you're listening to Abounding Grace Radio with Pastor Chris Gordon. Today on the program, we continue our series in the book of Romans. We're in chapter 11, looking at verses 11 through 24 with a message titled, God's Plan to Save Israel.
Has God cast away his people? It has provoked those people to jealousy. And Paul sees that as a great benefit to them. That through their jealousy, when they become angry and see it for what it is, that the Gentiles are receiving their Messiah, then some will come back to Christ and some will believe.
And now, here's Pastor Chris.
Well, I invite you to turn tonight to Romans chapter 11. Just two sermons here left in Romans 11, and then we move to the gratitude section of the book. But really, tonight we come to what is really a great summary of everything that he is saying regarding the restoration of Israel that we just sung out about tonight from Psalm 80 that asked the Lord to restore the vineyard. And here we see that really addressed in this text. 1125 is the page number. And I'll pick up at verse 7, and we shall read to verse 24. Verse 7, what then? Israel failed to obtain what it was seeking? The elect obtained it, but the rest were hardened. As it is written, God gave them a spirit of stupor, eyes that would not see and ears that would not hear, down to this very day. And David says, let their table become a snare and a trap, a stumbling block and a retribution for them. Let their eyes be darkened so that they cannot see and bend their backs forever. So I asked, did they stumble in order that they might fall? By no means. Rather, through their trespass, salvation has come to the Gentiles so as to make Israel jealous. Now, if their trespass means riches for the world and their failure means riches for the Gentiles, how much more will their full inclusion mean? Now, I'm speaking to you Gentiles. Inasmuch then as I am an apostle to the Gentiles, I magnify my ministry in order somehow to make my fellow Jews jealous and thus save some of them. For if their rejection means the reconciliation of the world, what will their acceptance mean but life from the dead? If the dough offered as first fruits is holy, so is the whole lump. And if the root is holy, so are the branches. But if some of the branches were broken off, and you, although a wild olive shoot, were grafted in among the others, and now share in the nourishing root of the olive tree, do not be arrogant toward the branches. If you are, remember, it is not you who supports the root, but the root that supports you. Then you will say, branches were broken off so that I might be grafted in. That is true. They were broken off because of their unbelief, but you stand fast through faith. So do not become proud, but fear. For if God did not spare the natural branches, neither will he spare you. Note then the kindness and the severity of God. Severity towards those who have fallen, but God's kindness to you, provided you continue in his kindness. Otherwise, you too will be cut off. And even they, if they do not continue in their unbelief, will be grafted in, for God has the power to graft them in again. For if you were cut off from what is by nature a wild olive tree and grafted contrary to nature into a cultivated olive tree, how much more will these, the natural branches, be grafted back into their own olive tree? And there will end tonight the reading of God's word. Well, as we know, the church in Rome had a mixture of both Jews and Gentiles, and there will be lots in the next section to come, in the gratitude section, in dealing with liberty and these sort of things where there's difference of opinions on things. But this particular issue was of great importance for them, the relationship of Jew and Gentile, especially to the Apostle Paul, who, as you'll notice here, was set apart for the ministry to the Gentiles. The relationship was one of friction between Jew and Gentile in the church in so many ways, and the problem went both ways. But this issue is very important still to our very day in dealing really with any ethnic group that is different than us. But I have to say, and you know, it is no small problem, what we call anti-Semitism in our day. It is a real phenomenon, a real thing that still goes on. And there's something very spiritual about that. There's something very dark about that. Satan, obviously, throughout history, has a great hatred for the Jews. And this has been shown recently in all kinds of neo-Nazi stuff coming back out. The long history of this is indisputable. But it doesn't help, because I think when it comes to positions, dispensationalism is viewed as those who favor the Jews, and Reformed people are viewed as those who dislike the Jews. And I think we need to combat that. I think we need to directly combat that. Obviously, because of this idea that is thrown around so loosely, that we believe in Reformed churches that we've replaced Israel. And so the church has replaced Israel, and therefore there is no plan for them whatsoever. And basically, we have taken all that is theirs. And that, of course, itself is called anti-Semitism. But tonight, this text should clear all that away. This text should clear all that away. It shows us the disposition that believers are to have, Gentiles to Jews. It shows the disposition we are to have to any, all ethnic groups who are lost and do not know the Lord. It doesn't matter who they are, is what I'm saying. There's something very powerful about the gospel mission of the church that's captured here in this particular section tonight. So the issue is not at all whether the church has replaced Israel. I hope I've made that case along the way. But we have to take a step back and ask, how are we to understand the fulfillment of God's plan for Jew and Gentile in being made one people? That's everywhere in the scriptures. That's Ephesians 2. The two have been made one. He's broken down the middle wall of separation, having abolished the law of commandments contained in ordinances. And he's made them both one. He's ripped down the wall. He's made them one people. That's why Galatians will call us all together the Israel of God. And that is what Paul's explaining for us tonight. He's helping us with this. How do Jew and Gentile now relate together in the church? Big issue in the first century. Big issue in the first century. They had a Jerusalem council over this struggle, didn't they? Acts 15 is all about this. And last week, Paul asked a question that the dispensationalists ask today, to this day. Romans 11, really one, has God cast away his people? Has God cast away his people? Has he cast away all those people that he made these promises to? And the answer was emphatically, no, God has not cast away his people. There is, that, remember his answer, at the present time. God has a present plan for Israel. At the present time, there's a remnant according to the election of grace. And then Paul said, and if you want proof of that, I'm one. Look at me. Look what God did for me. I'm proof that God has a remnant. And we see this all throughout the New Testament. Well, now tonight, Paul picks up tonight with the last thought of this that he made here in the last verse that he quoted of the mass of Israel being blinded. Did you catch that? God's given them a spirit of stupor, blindness. And he asks in verse 11, have they stumbled then that they should fall? Great question. Great question. Paul just said in verse 8, Isaiah 29, God's given them a spirit of blindness, eyes of blindness that they should not see and ears that they should not hear down to this very day. So God, conclusion, God has blinded them then that they should not see. Blinded to see what? Their Messiah. Their Messiah. Paul says that in 2 Corinthians, that there's a veil that lies over their hearts when they read the scriptures. They cannot read the scriptures and see Jesus. Well, what do you think when you hear that? Well, Did God just write them all off in his good pleasure? Is that what you're teaching, Paul? Is that what you are teaching? Is that what we are teaching? And that's not at all what he's saying. The apostle tonight wants us to consider this. Did God send them blindness? Now again, sovereignty of God. Who can deny the sovereignty of God? We saw it this morning in marriage. We see it again tonight. He's in complete control of everything, and he has sovereignty over the human heart. Did God send them blindness? So Paul understands the sovereignty of God. It's not even a question. Did he send them blindness? Great question. With the goal that they should fall. In other words, was in God's sovereign decree, he just arbitrarily hardening in judgment and leaving them there? Did God just doom Israel all to hell? Did he have a reason in doing this? That's the sense of this tonight. That's the challenge of what Paul's raising and wants us to think about a little bit. What is Paul's answer to that question? Just as you shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Emphatically, no, certainly not. He says it here in the same way. Certainly not. Notice what he says. But through their fall, this is a very important section tonight. Rather, through their trespass, salvation has come to the Gentiles so as to make Israel jealous. That is a crucial text for tonight. The trespass here, to make them jealous. That is exactly what Paul says here. They stumbled at the stumbling block, who is Christ. And here, through their trespass, to provoke them to jealousy, salvation's come to you. Salvation's come to you. Now, if their trespass, he goes on to say, means riches for the world, and if their failure, verse 12, means riches for the Gentiles, how much more will their full inclusion mean? So the thought here is really powerful, and it's very amazing when you think about what he's saying. There's something reciprocal happening in the gospel ministry that we don't often think about. Here's what he's saying. Jewish unbelief among the Jews of Israel opened the door to the Gentiles to receive Jesus. And what has that done in return? It has provoked those people to jealousy. And Paul sees that as a great benefit to them, to provoke them to jealousy. That through their jealousy, when they become angry and see it for what it is, that the Gentiles are receiving their Messiah, then some will come back to Christ and some will believe. Now, this is exactly the program in Acts. I just want you to sit here for a minute and listen to Acts 13. You're welcome to turn there. You know the pattern in Acts. The gospel would go to the Jews first, and then it would go to the Gentiles. This is exactly what Jesus told them to do. And in verse 42 of chapter 13, Paul's at Antioch, and I want you to listen carefully to the events here. It's very fascinating. You see exactly what he's describing here play out in the book of Acts. So when the Jews went out of the synagogue, the Gentiles begged that these words might be preached to them the next Sabbath. Now, when the congregation had broken up, many of the Jews and devout proselytes followed Paul and Barnabas, who, speaking to them, persuaded them to continue in the grace of God. On the next Sabbath, almost the whole city came together to hear the word of God. But when the Jews saw the multitudes, they were filled with jealousy, envy, and contradicting and blaspheming, they opposed the things spoken by Paul. So notice the chain here. First, Christ was preached to them. Then many rejected it. They were enraged with jealousy. They're looking around. Why in the world are all these Gentiles standing here? They judged themselves, Paul says, unworthy. And Paul says, fine, we're going to the Gentiles then. Then Paul and Barnabas, verse 46, grew bold and said, it was necessary that the word of God should be spoken to you first, but since you reject it and judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life, behold, we turn to the Gentiles. For the Lord has so commanded us, I have set you as a light to the Gentiles, that you should be for salvation to the ends of the earth. Now when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and glorified the word of the Lord, and as many as had been appointed to eternal life believed. So, you heard that. It was God's command to preach Christ as a light to the Gentiles, right out of Isaiah. It was God's design to harden them, as they turned away, that the light would come to us. Okay? That's not the end of the story. That's not the end of the story. What happened? At the preaching of Christ to the Gentiles, many of the Jews began to follow Paul and Barnabas, and they come to Iconium. Now, this is verse 1 of chapter 14. Now, it happened in Iconium that they went together to the synagogue of the Jews and spoke, so that a great multitude, both of Jews and Greeks, believed. But the unbelieving Jews stirred up the Gentiles and poisoned their minds against the brethren. Notice that. A great number of Jews who were following believed. How did that happen? Through the preaching of Christ to the Gentiles. This is what Paul's describing. This is what he wants us to think about tonight. It's not rocket science. It's pretty clear. He says in verse 13, for I speak to you Gentiles. I want to talk to you Gentiles for a minute. Inasmuch as I am an apostle to the Gentiles. Romans, this is, we're back to Romans. I, notice what he says, magnify my ministry to the Gentiles. If by any means, verse 14, notice this in 11, in order somehow to make my fellow Jews jealous and thus save some of them. For if their rejection means reconciliation of the world, what will their acceptance mean but life from the dead? You hear what he's saying there. In other words, the Jews rejected Christ. That led to the Gentiles receiving the gospel. All the ends of the earth it went out to receive him. And more the Gentiles came into Jesus, the more and more he sees there will actually be Jewish belief. Now that's wonderful. It anticipates the doxology that's coming. Oh, the depths of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. I magnify my ministry to the Gentiles because more and more, as Christ is preached and received among the Gentiles, it will bring in more Jews. More will be saved. So this answers the basic question. Is God done with the Jews, or does he have some plan for the Jews? Paul is speaking just as he did of the present plan that they're coming in at present. And this is beautiful. The world is being reconciled in this way. When they come through this great provocation, if you will, that means their acceptance is life from the dead. They become alive in Christ. Now, Paul had said last time, right now there's a remnant according to the election of grace. And think of how much greater that fullness will be when more and more come to believe through the Gentiles receiving Christ. I think this is just fabulous. It's so simple that we've messed up. And let me say, it makes me lament the terrible things that I see happen that stand in the way of this. Now think of what you just heard on the news, if you saw this the other day, because I like to ride the news cycle, and I always have something every week, don't I? It's always something. Ted Cruz is sitting in front of Tucker Carlson. Anyone see that? And Ted Cruz says, Tucker Carlson, he says, listen, if we as America support the Jews, we will be blessed as a nation. We have always believed that. And if we don't do that, it will basically be our downfall. That's the long thread of thought that has gone through our political leaders. I don't know how many times I've heard that. If you want to succeed as a nation, support Israel. And Tucker says, where is that in the Bible? And Ted's blah, 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 blah. He says, no idea. No idea where that came from. Supporting Israel in unbelief is not a solution, right? It's an unbelieving people. Supporting any nation in unbelief is not a solution. Now, political leaders do their thing, and there's political reasons for that. But to attach that to a spiritual blessing is an immense problem for Christianity. Financially supporting Israel, or as dispensationalism did for years, sending your money to the temple project over there to rebuild the temple, that does nothing to advance the cause. That does everything to stand in the way of the cause. You see? The great cause for Israel, the great help to Jews, is to preach Jesus. Very simply, preach the cross, preach their Messiah, and preach our Messiah now, right? That through that, the great provocation to jealousy, God will use that in the priest, how powerful the preaching of Christ is. God will use that to graft in more. Preach Jesus, you want to say to the dispensationalists. And you'll see what you want happen. So think of the beauty here. God hardened Israel to reconcile the world. And through that, the consequence of being faithful in the ministry of preaching Christ, they will be brought back to life. They will be given life. And here's where I think Paul's challenging Gentiles. Notice in verse 13, Paul's speaking specifically to Gentile members of the church. And essentially what he says here, I want you to have this aim for Israel, but it's not rocket science. Preach the Messiah. Preach Jesus. Because a careless or an arrogant attitude against them misunderstands everything God's done for you. This is really important for right now since there's so much of this going on, of, like I said, neo-Nazi stuff.
Well, that's all the time that we have for you today here on Abounding Grace Radio with Pastor Chris Gordon. We hope to see you again next time for part 2 of this message in the book of Romans. Until then, may the Lord bless you and keep you.